Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And we carry on with Ephesians chapter 1. We've been looking at this prayer that Paul has been praying for the Ephesian churches. And one of the things that he starts with is that he does not cease to give thanks to God. And he makes mention of them in his prayers. And ever since he heard of their faith in the Lord and their love, and to all the saints. And one of the things that he prayed for is that the Lord shall give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And we say that this is a spirit that enables you to understand the things of God, to understand the mind of God, because God is a God of wisdom. He loves to hide things, and there are things that he has hidden in plain sight. But then these are for the glory of kings to search it out. So God expects you and I to behave like kings, to think like kings, and to search out these matters. And we also say that revelation is the bringing forth of things that are covered. They are hidden, yes, but they are there for you. You know, the Bible tells us that the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed are for us and our children. So there are things that are in the realm of the revealed things. And when God brings you to a revelation, he brings you to a place that gives you permission to access that realm that the revelation, you know, contains. Because each revelation is a key to a certain level in the spirit, is a key to a certain domain. And when you get to it, and when you understand it, and when you meditate on that revelation, it becomes yours. It's just like when you understand that Christ was made poor, that you might be made rich, and you meditate on that, then you will understand that he that owned everything took on the weakness, took on the poverty of humanity, that you might receive the riches of his unending grace. And you know, these unending mercies of God are what translates. It's a spiritual riches, but translates into the natural. There is no one who is full of abundant grace of God that ends up lacking, that ends up in shame. No, because shame is not your portion. That you can get by revelation. No more delay. That you can get by revelation. That you are the seed of Abraham, that you can get by revelation through Christ, that you are blessed and not cast, that there is no divination against Jacob, against Israel, and that which God has blessed, no one can cast. That you can get by revelation. There are things that come to you, you go up by revelation. Paul says, I went up by revelation. I went up. That means there's a place that we go by revelation. And this can only come from God. And it says in the knowledge, in the epignosis. Epignosis is the complete and accurate knowledge of God, of things ethical and things divine. That means that you get to a level where God has established you in truth, that you see the end from the beginning to the end, that you have a full vision of God. You are taken to the end of all things, and you understand God's eternal purpose and its present application today, that today you can live out that eternal purpose that was in the thoughts of God before he laid the foundations of this world. This is the place of understanding. This is the place of revelation. This is the place of growth. And the Bible says, if you are given the spirit of wisdom and revelation, what happens is what? That your eyes of your understanding are enlightened. They are flooded with light. We say that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, is the candle of the Lord. And that means that the Lord comes by his spirit to light up the spirit of man. And when the spirit of man is lighted, the man is able to see. When your eyes of your understanding are given light, you see, when you walk in darkness, then you cannot see. You miss out that which is available for you. When your eyes are blindfolded, you might not see the pen that is next to you. But when your eyes are open, you can see the tools that are around you. And that's why when the eyes of your understanding are open, you come into spiritual knowledge. You come into spiritual wisdom. You come into spiritual awareness that you can see certain patterns around you that are wrong that you need to break. You come into that knowledge and understanding that tells you that you need to trust in God, that God is working it out, that you can be in peace in the midst of a storm. That is why Jesus could sleep in the midst of a storm. Why? Because he had the understanding, he had revelation that he was greater than any demonic power, than any forces of the water, the forces of nature. He had power over them. He was their creator, and all he needed to do was to get up and say, "Be still." And he asked his disciples, "O ye of little faith, where is your faith? By now I expected that you have faith." So when your eyes of your understanding are open, then you can know the hope of your calling. You can know the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. This is Ephesians 1:18. I say that there is a glory of the inheritance of the saints, that the greatest glory of that inheritance is the glory of God. We are joint heirs with Christ of God. That means that all things that God has, all things that he desires to give us, all of his essence, all of his power, all of his wisdom, all of his authority, he is going to make us a partaker of that. When we come into our union, into that complete and final union, where the tabernacle of God is with men, that heavenly Jerusalem, when we come into that perfect unity, then all that is of God is of us. Bible says we are seated with Christ. We are in Christ and Christ is in God. All things are of God. Here, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's trespasses against them. That means that there is something that God did. He clothed himself in Christ and he was reconciling the world to himself. He wanted each and every aspect of the world, each and every man to come back and be united in him. And when you understand that glory of the inheritance, then you can know, and you can know what is the exceeding greatness of his power. And this is what we were able to look at yesterday. There is an exceeding greatness of his power. Now to him, Ephesians 3:20, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above, much more than all you could ever ask of, think or imagine, according to the power that worketh in you. That power is not even spoken of that it is in heaven. That power works in you, the believer. And when it works in you, it works through the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that this is that power that he exerted, that the Father exerted when he raised Jesus from the dead. We saw that the greatest power is needed to raise the dead. Once you have conquered death, then there is no other enemy left to be defeated. Hell and Hades were defeated by Christ on the cross. The principalities, the powers, they were defeated. He made a public spectacle over them. The Lord rebuked them. And the Lord today rebukes them. And that is why when we understand the exceeding greatness of his power for us who believe, the caveat is that you must believe. If you don't believe, then you will never experience the power that is available for us who believe, available for the believers. And that power is the working of his mighty power, is the energy of his iskus kratos. This is the working of his mighty power that he raised, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And the Bible says, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. This is what we wanted to speak about today, being at the right hand in the heavenly places. And the Bible says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave them to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So, when Christ is set at the right hand of the Father, that means it refers not to the physical right hand, but it refers to the hand of, to the side of authority. It refers to the office of the Christ. And as I said before, now when you start to look at the office, you know, you have to understand the structure of the heavens. The ideally what we know of are classified as three heavens. The first heaven, which is on the earth, which is the realm of man. When we look at the sky, we can see the heavens are fair. You know, that is the first heaven. Then we have the second heaven, which is the range of demons. And this is the spiritual world where we can see that Satan, the god of this world, operates in. And this is his realm, because man that is not born again operates from the first heaven. But you see, any second order of a heaven is superior or has a greater authority or greater power than the first heaven. So you can see the god of this world blinds the unbelievers. Demons control territories, and that's why we are seeing the structure that is written here, far above principality and power and might and dominion. Now, principality refers to demonic princes. Princes are rulers or territorial spirits that govern territories. You can remember when Daniel offered a prayer to God, and the Bible says when the angel came with the message, the angel was trapped and held by the prince of Persia. That means there was a principality over Persia that was kept the answer of Daniel 21 days until another prince, the prince over Israel, who is Angel Michael, came in and rebuked and fought, and the angel was able to come forth swiftly and deliver the message to Daniel and tell him, ever since you humbled yourself to pray, the message was given to you. So principalities are demonic princes. These ones, they don't possess people. They're in charge of territories. They have their own bodies. They have their own authority. Then you have the powers. Powers are controlling forces and controlling spirits that rule through ideologies. You know, they rule through influences. That's why you find in certain regions there are certain, you know, influences of the devil that govern that area. You can go to Africa or certain parts of Africa and you find immorality, or you find HIV, or you find poverty. That is a power that is at work. Or you go and find a place, a city where alcoholism is what disturbs people, or marine spirits. All these are powers that have influence over behavior, of a culture, or through religion and tradition. And then you have the dominion and the might. And these are, you know, individualized forces of darkness that are either working through altars, through wickedness in high places, you know, or demons that, you know, that are controlling specific areas. So these are also parts of the demonic world. And the Bible says that Christ was raised up and sat at the right hand of the Father. That means at the place of authority of God, in the highest place in the heavens, where, if you read Psalms 110, it speaks where the rod of the strength shall come out from Zion. And he says, rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. The Lord said to my Lord, sit until I make the enemies your footstool. You know, there is that command from above that God said to Jesus, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And it speaks of how thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. There is a place of rulership that is exerted by the office of the Christ, in which he does not even need to move. He just sits until the rod of the strength, who is the rod of the strength? That is the Holy Spirit, goes forth and ensures that the enemies of the Lord Jesus are under his feet. They are made his footstool. And this is the dominion that Christ was given when he was raised from the dead. The Bible says, Philippians 2 from verse 5, let this be mind be with you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in very
nature of God or in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but rather he humbled himself and became obedient and took on the form of a servant, being found in appearance as a man. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name, of things in heaven and things under the earth, on the earth and things under the sea, that at the mention at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth shall bow. They shall bow. They bow at the name of Jesus. Why? Because he was given a name. And that is why even here we see that he is far above all principalities, powers, might and dominion. When you say something is far above, that if you look at the sky is far above. When you try to see a plane, it looks so tiny because it's far above. Now, when you come to look at the structures of the heaven, you can see that Christ is far above. He is in the third heavens, the highest point of the third heavens. That means that Christ is given ultimate authority. Ultimate authority. That's the right hand of God, the place of authority, the place of rulership, the place where you rule in the midst of thy enemies. And that is the anointing of the Melchizedek, the priest, the king and priest. He offers worship to God through his priestly function, but also is a kingly agent, is a kingly exercising dominion on the earth. Let them have dominion. Let us make man in our image and let them have dominion. The Bible says, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That means that the moment anything is given a name, it goes under the name of Jesus. It bows to the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what the doctors call it, what that condition they call it. It bows to the name of Jesus because there is a name that is above every other name. That is the name of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that he has put all this thing that Christ did was not just for himself. It was for you and me that have believed in his name. It was for the saints. He has put all things. That means there is nothing left that is not under the feet of Jesus. There is nothing left that is yet to be conquered. There is no caste. There is no legality that is yet to be conquered. Because everything has been brought under the feet of Jesus. He has brought all things under his feet. That is to tell you that he has dominion. He has dominion over every area of our life. There is nothing that is impossible. It might look like you have come to the end of your road, but I want to assure you, my brother, my sister, that when you come to that end, remember that all things were placed under the feet of Jesus. And that he can step on them, step on the enemy, you know. And he gave him to be head over all things for the church. Oh, what a blessing. Christ is the head of all things for the church. That means that Christ is the head of the world, of the nations of this earth, he's the head of all principalities and powers for the church. And that is where the church draws its authority. It exercises its authority from its power. Because you don't draw power from your own righteousness. You don't draw power from your own area of prayer. Not that prayer and fasting is not important or righteousness is important. No, not that it is not important. But what counts is that even after you have done all that, you know that your power does not come from man, but it comes from the throne of God. And that is why we cry. We go and cry and ask God for mercy. We ask God for grace, that we might receive mercy and grace in our time of need. We come boldly to that throne where grace is administered. And this is the throne of Christ, where it is done for you and me. It is the place for the church. All things. There is nothing left that is not under his feet. Everything. All he's doing is sitting. And the Holy Spirit begins to work. The rod of the stem of Zion begins to work. to bring everything in conformity to the pattern of his will. And the Bible says he is the head, to be the head over all things to the church. That tells you that the church will be the fullest expression of Christ and his mission. If you are part of Christ, then you are doing his work. Then you are his hands. Then you are contributing to the work of the Lord. You are meeting the needs of brothers and sisters. Why? Because you are the extensions of the hands of Jesus. If Jesus was passing and meets someone who is depressed or sick, Jesus will heal. He was moved with compassion. Likewise, we too, when we encounter people that need our help, we must be moved with compassion and move forward to be the hands and feet of Jesus and support. The Bible says, head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And I said before, Christ is our head, we are his body. We are an integral part of him. And when we understand this, then we walk in victory. In fact, there's a part that says where we are members of his body, his flesh and his bones. We are the structure that makes up the physical component of the Christ on the earth now. The whole collective body of believers is the body. And this, the Bible tells us, he has made and he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God that fills the entire universe still is able to live in our hearts. And now when you understand where Christ is, and you can see Ephesians 2 verse 6, it says, and we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are seated with him. The place of authority, the place of that right hand of the Father, the place of rulership is the place that is given for the church. Christ is ruling on our behalf. He's ruling for us. He is making a difference. He's breaking the chains of darkness. He's destroying the forces of the enemy. He has destroyed them. And now he is seated and rest at rest. And everything is under his feet. Name it, sickness, poverty, confusion, it is under his feet. Attacks of the enemy, they are under his feet. And that is where we must constantly place our minds. Set your heart, set your affections on things above, not things on the earth, where your real life is hidden with Christ and Christ is in God. There is a real life for each and every one of us. May God help us to walk in truth, to walk in this revelation, to understand that this place is not just for the Christ, but is for every believer, that we shall be seated with him in heavenly places. We shall experience the authority that he has, all things under our feet, and there are battles that we will not need to fight because he says, sit down until I make your enemies thy footstool. Do you believe it? If you believe the revelation, then it is yours. Then you will start to walk in divine favor, divine providence. You will start to understand that the promises of God are yes and amen, O God. You will start to know what Christ has done. And what you know is what you can possess, is what you can demand of God. What you don't know will never have any help to you. I'm going to stop here today, and I pray that God will give you insight into this, and beyond that, that the Lord shall keep, sustain, and watch over you. Father, I thank you for our listeners. Thank you for each and everyone that has gathered, that, Lord, your presence, your power, your anointing shall be with them, that they shall understand the throne from which you operate on, the throne of grace, the throne of power, the throne by which, when we sit at your feet, O God, we shall grow from one level of glory to another. I thank you for your loving kindness. I thank you for your power. Thank you for your wisdom. Provide, touch those that need healing. provide for our needs. At the end of the day, return all the glory to you, O God, because you are faithful and you never fail. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.